This suggests that breaking bad funding habits should make a difference. The DARPA model, which has more in common with venture capital than traditional funding structures, is an attempt to do just that. It empowers program directors to finance high-risk, high-reward projects with a bent towards real-world use. But though it has proved successful in the defense industry, funding groundbreaking technologies from the early internet to GPS, it may not be quite as successful elsewhere. A book chapter published in February by Ms. Lee and Pierre Azoulay at MIT notes that the DARPA model does best when its program directors have a clear understanding of the sort of breakthroughs that are needed. This is often the case at DARPA itself, where both the funder and user of new tech is the Defense Department. In areas like energy or healthcare, things are rather less straightforward. The end users are many and dispersed, rather than a single government department. Indeed, other work by Mr. Azoulay and colleagues notes that although ARPA-E, an energy-focused outfit launched in 2009, is still in its relatively early days, it is yet to produce advances on a par with its defense-orientated predecessor. Another approach in vogue is to fund people, not projects. Most conventional grants fund specific projects for a specific amount of time, usually a few years, which researchers worry prevents them from pivoting to new ideas when old ones do not work out and fails to allot enough time for risky ones to come to fruition. A study in 2011 compared researchers at the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, where they are granted considerable flexibility over their research agendas and lots of time to carry out investigations, with similarly accomplished ones funded by a standard NIH program. The study found that researchers at the institute took more risks. As a result, they produced nearly twice as much highly cited work, as well as a third more flops, articles with fewer citations than their previously least cited work. These results may be hard to replicate elsewhere. Researchers at the Howard Hughes Institute are selected for attributes that suggest they will thrive in such a flexible environment. But the gap is big enough to indicate that others may also benefit from more freedom. Despite the uncertainty about exactly how best to fund scientific research, economists are confident of two things. The first is that a one-size-fits-all approach is not the right answer, says Heidi Williams of Stanford University. DARPA models, the Howard Hughes Medical Institute's curiosity-driven method, and even handing out grants by lottery, as the New Zealand Health Research Council has tried, all have their uses. Evaluation of them can then build knowledge of what works, says Matt Clancy, an economist who curates a continuously updated online literature survey on innovation, itself an experiment in how to improve science. The second is that this burst of experimentation must continue. The boss of the NSF, Santharaman Panchanathan, agrees. He is looking to reassess projects whose reviews are highly variable, a possible indication of unorthodoxy. He is also interested in a Willy Wonka-style funding mechanism called the Golden Ticket, which would allow a single reviewer to champion a project even if his or her peers do not agree. Mr. Clancy notes that many venture capital partnerships employ similar policies because they prioritize the upside of long-shot projects rather than seeking to minimize failure. Thus far, there is little quantitative evidence on whether golden tickets produce golden outcomes. All the more reason to try them.